All right, let's get started here. It's already 7 minutes after. I'll ask God's blessing on our meeting, okay? Father, we bow and we thank you for a wonderful opportunity here to fellowship with people of like mind who love you and love your word and are trying to change their lives and live a way that is pleasing to you. And we ask that you would bless our discussions here today and our study into your word and help us to learn things that we never comprehended before. And let us inspire us to go out and make you proud of what it is we're trying to do to live a godly life. Be with us in your spirit. Inspire us. And we thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, I want to spend a little time on whether Jesus Christ is divine or not. Now, understand, when we're talking about is Jesus divine, we're not talking, or is Jesus God? We're not talking, is he the eternal Heavenly Father? We're not saying that, okay? Now, there's something you have to understand. Andrew Buzzard, apparently, I'm not going to say absolutely, apparently does not understand. And then the reason I can say that is because I read certain statements he makes over and over and over regarding the fact that God is one. And if Jesus can be called God, then we have two gods. To him, it's very simple. God the Father is the one true God. And if Jesus is God, then we got two true gods. And the Bible says God is one. Now, that's simple enough, right? But here's where you get into areas that require a little bit more than just the simplicity of a child, you know? Because that sounds good on the surface. And if you don't have a little bit of depth of understanding and wisdom, that'll throw you and you'll say, yeah, that's right. Now, he makes a lot of good points about the Trinity. In fact, the book is called Jesus Was Not a Trinitarian. Of course he wasn't. So the Trinity theory is that God is not just God the Father. God consists of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. That, according to Christendom, is what God is. Okay? So, they're all God, separately and individually. They say, well, how can you understand that? I say, well, you really can't. Well, does the Scripture teach that? Almost all theologians will flat out tell you, no, the Scriptures don't teach that. Well, why do they teach it then? They say, well, you can deduce that. They deduce that that's what it has to be. And then they give you an analogy to prove that it's possible. They say, look at an egg. You've got the shell, the yolk, and the white. There you go, the Trinity. Or water. You have water, steam, and ice. Ah, the Trinity. What does such arguments prove? It proves the stupidity of those that are trying to convince you of something. Come on! But it has nothing to do with anything, you know, that an egg has three components. I mean, it's nonsense. So, he rightly shows that nowhere is the Holy Spirit called a person. He takes great exception with this idea that God consists of three persons. I mean, he really berates that God is three persons. The Trinity teaches that God is three persons. One essence, three persons. And most of his proofs about the Trinity are correct. There's a problem, though. When he wipes out the false teaching of the Trinity, he also throws away the glory and dignity and divinity of Jesus Christ. And that is not scriptural, okay? And so I'm going to defend the divinity of Jesus Christ with the Scriptures. If some of you say, well, you know, I don't agree, I don't believe that. I've got a lot of Scriptures. And unless you can explain every one of them away somehow, I'll always have an issue with this. Okay? Because, first of all, if there are scriptures that indicate Jesus is God and that Jesus lived with God before he ever came in human form, okay? And we have numbers of scriptures like that, then that's a positive on the side that Jesus did not come into existence as a human being through the birth of Mary, but that he was changed from something he was into humanity. Okay, so we have quite a number of scriptures that back that up. Do we have any scriptures that flat out tell us that Jesus Christ is not divine, never was divine, never will be divine? No. Now, we do have scriptures that say he's a man. Well, of course he's a man. God made him a man, okay, and a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now, Mr. Buzzer, who's the author, speaks about, let's see, where is this? I have it here, I think. Okay. He speaks about what's called the Shema. How many know what that is? Art, you're the only one? Wow. Okay, the Shema is Deuteronomy 6:4. And it says, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, that is a basic tenet of the Jewish religion, that the Lord is one. God is one. Okay? One what? One God. One Lord. One. So, the premise of Mr. Buzzard in this book is to show that God is one person, not a multitude, not two, not a trinity, not, you know, three or four, but one person. So I'm going to now read a couple things to you. He talks about, what did Jesus Christ teach? Did he teach the Trinity, or did he teach that God is one person? There is a profound difference between one person, God, and three personal God. If God is one person, God is a single divine person, okay, you understand the premise I'm making now. Based on the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, God is one God, one Lord. Okay. Bear with me here. This won't take as long as you might think. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4. The Shema proclaimed that God is one person. This really settles the whole issue we are discussing. Okay? You understand? You following this? This settles the whole issue we are discussing. Whether or not Jesus is God, or whether he is divine. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4. The Shema, he says, proclaimed God is one person. That really settles the whole issue we are discussing. God is a single person, he says halfway down the page. On the next page, God is a single person. He is a single person. And God, the true God, and he is a person. God is a single person. The Jews knew that their God was a single person. God is a single, undivided, divine person. The one divine person who alone is God. Is God speaking here? A person. The Bible, according to the Bible, God is a single person. These oracles present God as a unitary person. No one could have even imagined God to be more than one divine person. That Christian theology does not believe God to be one person. They believe he's three persons. Okay. Let's see. The Jews in history believed in and worshipped as God the single person. God is a single divine person. The Bible reveals that God is presented as a single person with all the characteristics of a person. The Father who is not another or different person. The New Testament confirms the unique status of God as one person. God is only one person. Our Lord is one, definitely one person, since the Lord is a person, one person. Just bear with me. There's a reason for what I'm doing. Trust me. How many of you trust me? There's quite a difference, quite obviously, between God as a single person and as God as a what or a what. Yeah, in Scripture, God is one person. Our Lord is a single Lord, one person. The faith of Judaism was always Unitarian belief in God as a single person. He is one individual person. They constantly say God is a single person. While Jesus speaks of God as a single person, God is one person, the one person God of the Scriptures. For Jesus and the whole Bible, God is a single divine person. Through the whole range of Scripture, God is a single divine person. Are you getting the point he's making? Now let me just stop there. Somebody tell me, what is the point? God is a person. Okay. God is a person. Paul also said God is a person. He does admit here, though, that God is a title. The king of Israel had been called God, Psalm 45:6, and this same title, so I want you to remember that, he concedes that God is a title. Okay. God describes himself as a single, undivided, divine personality. Speaks of himself, of his own person. Even God himself is said to be a person. Okay, declaring the Galatians, God is only one person, being a single person. Clearly distinguished from the person of God. The person, God. When the masculine form of the one EIS is used, the meaning is one person. The New Testament speaks of God as one person. The sense in both halves of the sentence is one person. God is one person. God is one person. In each case, God is one person. I'm only a third of the way through the book. Only a third of the way through the book. So tell me again, what have you learned so far? What? One person, okay. How many believe now that God is one person? Wrong, pale faces. Why am I the only one in here with a devious mind? Had I read that 5 or 6 times, I might have let it pass. Or 10 or 15 times. But when I read that about 20 times, I started circling them. 25 times, 30 times, 35 times, 40 times. I mean, a big red flag went up. And then I got to thinking about it. See, because I was a little sucked in. I knew what he was saying. But I also know what Trinitarians believe when they say God is three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know that. So I don't. It isn't like I get all, you know, Twitter-pated or something. I know what they're saying, and I can follow their reasoning, or at least I try to. And then at some point I'll say, well, no, but not, you know, that doesn't work. Okay, so like I said, after about 20, 30, 40 times, why would somebody mention that 30 dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens? Why would somebody do that? I have never heard such redundancy in any book or article I have ever read in my life. What is he doing? Programming you, brainwashing you, setting you up. And every so often in there, I didn't want to read all of those too, he interjects the Shema. Huh? Scripture, God is one. God is one person. So now let me back up. I don't want to go any further. And I've only read up to page 265. So I have another 100 pages to go. No, 200 pages to go. Let's see if I remember that page number. Okay. Now let's go back. And trust me, when I teach, I use the scriptures. I do not come up with words and philosophies and stuff that are not in the scriptures. And if you think I do, you show me. Okay? All right, he says on page 28, starting page 27, who then did Jesus think was God? Jesus himself claimed in a conversation with the Jews, as we're going to see in detail, that he described the Jewish unitary monotheistic creed, the Shema, the hero Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema proclaimed that God is one person. That really settles it. The whole issue we're discussing it. That settles it. Oh, really? How many times did he tell us God was a person? Dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And he says, the Shema, hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema proclaimed that God is one person. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'm getting a little vocal here because I get aggravated with such stuff. The Bible does not proclaim God as one person. It does not. Nowhere. Although he states it over and over, page after page, sometimes 5 times on one page. Well, then for Pete's sake, where does it say that? Nowhere. He is so upset at the Trinitarians because they call God three persons. This man borrowed their stupid philosophy. They call God a person. He turns around and takes what he berates them for, and he calls God a person. Now, what's wrong with that?
God is not a title.
What?
God is not a person.
That's right. God is not a man. God is not a person. American Heritage College Dictionary. Now, He says, the Trinitarians, they say God is an essence. Actually, I think that can be true. And he said, he's not an essence. He's not a what? He's a person. Definition, essence. The intrinsic or indispensable properties that characterize or identify something. The most important ingredient, the crucial element, the inherent unchanging nature of a thing. Okay? What is God?
Spirit.
What is the intrinsic, indispensable, characteristic, and most important ingredient, crucial element of God? He's essence. Essence. Now, I don't use that word because I don't want to be lumped in with Trinitarians. But quite frankly, that is not so unscriptural as Mr. Buzzard would like to say. The essence of God is spirit. That's his essence. That's what he is. The crucial thing about who and what God is spirit. Nowhere does it say God is a person. Now, definitions. Person, a living human. Yeah, let me find something here quick. He says, I don't have time to look up all this stuff. He says in here, it so bothers him that people, theologians and stuff, come up with words that are unscriptural and terms that are not biblical, you know, and they twist things with words that don't fit and so on. Well, here he says, on page 191, the immortal God of Israel was never crucified. The theology of the Bible knows nothing of a mortal supreme God. Okay? So he admits, nowhere in the Bible is God mortal. Okay? So if Christ was God and he died, he was mortal. Doesn't fit. Nowhere is God called mortal. Okay? Okay, keep that in mind. Wycliffe's Bible Dictionary. Not only isn't God called a person, the Hebrew language had no word denoting the concept of personality which constitutes and characterizes a person. They couldn't have called God a person if they wanted to. They have no such word. Who are you going to believe? I just showed you, right? Not only isn't God called a person, and he says God is called a person, the Shema says God is a single person. No, he doesn't. He lies. And he knows. He looked up that verse in Deuteronomy 6:4, and it does not say that God is a person. It does not. Yet he says dozens and dozens and dozens of times God is a person. A person is a living human. God is not human. He's not a person. The Hebrews didn't even have a word for person. I looked up person in my e-sword, and there's only a half a dozen times you find the word person, and it's always in italics. It was added by the translator. There's no word in the Hebrew that should be translated person. Person, an individual human being. Especially distinguished from a thing or lower animal. An individual man, woman, or child, a living human body. This is from the internet. Person, American Heritage College Dictionary. A living human. Webster's. A person, a human. Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, unabridged. Person. An individual human being. A living human body. In theology, oh yeah, in pagan Trinitarianism, which he berates as being totally false, in theology, one of the three modes of being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we know that's not scriptural. Although they put that in there because they know the church teaches that nonsense and calls God three persons of a Trinity. Number four, a human being. Number five, in grammar, first, second, and third person. You, me, I, they, them, and so on. None of that has anything to do with God. Word origin and history. Person. Personae. Human being. And then a slightly different spelling of personae. Person. Human being. A human being, whether a man, a woman, or a child, a human being as distinguished from an animal or a thing, the actual self or individual personality of a human being, the body in its external aspect. In law, a person is a human being. Synonym, person, individual, personage, are terms applied to human beings. Now, can we understand that? Is that too difficult to know what a person is? The Bible has no such word. Nowhere does it call God a person. I don't see any definition where God is called a person. Yet this man mentions it over and over, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It's a lie. Let's see, I got... Well, I had another lesson with... My glasses just fell apart. All right, one definition of... a person, I don't know which encyclopedia or what, I had another short list. Definition of a person is a definition of a person is mortal. That interesting? And somehow people corner themselves and expose their utter hypocrisy. God, the immortal God of Israel, was never crucified. The theology of the Bible knows nothing of a mortal supreme being. What does he call God? Over and over and over and over again, dozens and dozens. What does he call him? A mortal. A person is a mortal human being. I rest my case. His arguments against Christ are baloney. I told you yesterday how he takes one of the most important verses in all Scripture, that Jesus Christ emptied himself. And you can look up what that word empty means. I read it to you out of different translations. He divested himself of his powers and glories. And one definition was to give up a title. Right? And how does he handle that? Does he discuss that in detail so that we can really see that he can show us that doesn't mean what it says? He wipes that out with a doggone footnote. Like that'll take care of it. I'll just put a little blurb here. You know, some people say this means he emptied himself of some previous glories or something, and he got a little asterisk or whatever, and you got a footnote that was taken from some Christian encyclopedia or whatever.
Did he say anything about Genesis? Would he say that us?
I think he did, but very, very little. But here's what he does say, though. Over and over and over and over and over, he says, there are like 2,000, 3,000 personal pronouns. A personal pronoun always talks with reference to one single solitary person. Well, no, it doesn't talk about God as a person. And it doesn't always talk about God with a personal pronoun like he or me or my. And God said, let us make man in our image. That's in the Hebrew. That wasn't added by the translator. Our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. And the Lord said, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like me. Not what it says. Who's speaking? The Lord God. What did he say? Behold, the man has become as one of us. Who is the Lord God?
Jesus.
Yeah, but I mean, according to this verse, one of us. One of us. That's not a singular pronoun. Let's make our God, make in our image, after our likeness. He's become like us. And that's the Lord God. You say, well, yeah, but it doesn't use that throughout the whole. So what? I mean, there are hundreds of subjects in the Bible that are not mentioned in every book of the Bible 25 times. How many times must the Bible say something until it's true? How many witnesses do we need on important subjects?
Two
or three. Two or three.